A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. Welcome back to our podcast.
Welcome back. Welcome. If this is your first time listening,
yes, welcome.
Thank you for being here. If you could do us a huge favor, I know we just met and I'm already asking you for a favor, so that's really annoying. But if you could hit the subscribe button and that way, you know, you get to listen to us.
Well, it'll give you a little notification every time.
I don't even know if you get notified.
Really?
Think you just open your podcast app and it's there.
To be honest, we don't really know what it does.
I know what
but
it does.
But we know that it helps us.
It helps you find us.
Like, yes.
Every week you open your podcast app and then we're there. The podcast today that we're talking to Dr. Emily King, and Penn's going to read her bio in a second. It's very impressive. But let me tell you this. This is a must listen for parents who don't have children with special needs.
And she tells us this, that parents who do have children with special needs, they talk about this a lot. They have their own language that they use to talk about it. And it's a good, helpful language that none of us know about.
And
we're not good at it.
And those mamas and daddies out there that are doing amazing things for their children, we're talking autism, ATHD, other, you know, neurodiversity, I mean, even just medically fragile children, they need the rest of us to come in and they need some adult contact. So we're going to talk all about some really important things to do and not to do,
and
things
part
to
was
say
nuts.
And not to say. And let me tell you, I will admit that I have been saying some things that I should not have been saying. And I've been out of love and out of trying to help. So I really learned so much today.
And you're going to hear us learning.
Yeah.
We're taping this afterwards. You'll hear us saying, oh, really? Because we didn't think that we were saying anything wrong. And these things she's telling us not to say actually sound sweet, and they sound like they're with good intentions, but she's totally right. Like, you shouldn't be saying these things.
Yeah. So let's get to it. Let's hear about Dr. Emily.
Okay. Dr. Emily King is a licensed psychologist and a health services provider in a private practice in Raleigh, North Carolina. She specializes in working with children and adolescents with anxiety, ADHD, and autism spectrum disorders. She got her PhD at UNC. She completed her training in Houston, Texas, where she provided mental health services in elementary, middle, and high school kids for 5 years. She's been in private practice since 2010. And as she says, she doesn't do adults because they're boring.
Adults are super boring.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here. Welcome, Dr. Emily King. If you are listening to this podcast right now, you 100% know somebody who is raising a child with special needs, right? It is very, very common. And I think I heard a grandma the other day, a sweet older woman, say, you know, we didn't have autism when I was raising my kids.
Right?
So, Dr. Emily King, tell us, autism, these other disorders that we have these diagnoses and names for now, they were around a long time ago too, right?
Yes, we are still neurodevelopmentally human, right? As we were back then.
Same thing.
Same thing. And what is different now is that we name these things so that we can give people access to interventions and services and medical treatment. Because of insurance companies, we have to label things.
Right.
Is truthfully where that all evolved. But among the community of people on the autism spectrum and ADHD, it becomes part of your identity, really.
Right.
Whereas young adults who really embrace their autism will refer to themselves as autistic in a way that some people feel like that is, you should use person first language, like a person with autism.
Uh-huh.
But when a lot of people feel like it is a part of them, there's no other way of being for them,
right,
they will refer to themselves as an autistic person. So it's more of an identity now than it used to be. And we label it now. And sometimes parents are scared of that. But there are some benefits to understanding right. that thing. Looking back, the reason that older generations don't remember children in school with them with disabilities is that we have only legally required public schools to educate everyone since 1975.
Isn't that amazing?
So the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act was passed in 1975, and it still took time for kids to get in schools, and kids can have an individual education plan called an IEP.
Right.
And if you have a kid in public school, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right, with an IEP. And over time, that has all evolved into, you know, different schools getting, you know, maybe better training, not as much training. And that's why there's a lot.
It's a lot
to talk about with public schools and how we educate kids with disabilities. But going back to older generations, these kids were not in school. They were either at home being homeschooled or they were institutionalized. And that's why older generations don't remember them, because they weren't there.
They weren't there.
That's crazy. So, and you were talking about labels, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I was a kid, I was a space cadet.
Mm-hmm. That was your label.
Right. Now it's ADHD. That's better.
Does it feel better?
I don't know. I'll be honest with you, because the word disorder is in there and it's not a great word.
So I don't like that word. Yeah. I actually don't use it a whole lot with kids. You know, even with kids, I'm helping explain autism or anxiety to them. You have anxiety, or you are on the autism spectrum,
right,
or the word deficit is also an ADHD. So that
one's
tough
too.
There's a lot of negative in that.
And
one.
Hyperactivity. There's like three negative words in it.
Difficulty with attention and activity level, you know, impulsivity. Those are the things I describe, and it does have a name, and this is what we call it.
I do think that somebody needs to come up with a different way to use the acronym and
rebrand
Rebrand it.
Yes,
we need some rebranding.
There was actually a doctor that we spent some time with who is trying to rebrand ADHD and to call it fast brain. That was the term you wanted to use. I can't remember what it was, which I thought was very clever because it shows the positive sides of it. But there's such a challenge. Like, before we even get to the language, which we're going to talk about,
right,
in just the label.
Right. But absolutely. And that's what reason a lot of people don't want to label their children is they feel like it comes with a negative connotation. But it is very important, no matter what we call it, it is important for kids to understand their brains.
Yeah.
It's important for parents to embrace the child they're raising. And I struggle with helping families accept the label so that they can accept the child.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it. There's some families that it's just too hard to accept that label, but at least can we accept that there are different skills going on here that we have to work on in a way that's different than raising a neurotypical child?
You are here with kind of a do and don't list for those of us with a neurotypical child that just really want to help and they just really want to connect with moms and dads that are raising kids with differences. Mm-hmm. And you gave me this list and I go, holy moly, I've committed some sins. I have said some things out of love.
Yeah.
Out of love, thinking I was being helpful, and I've just probably made matters worse. And again, you preface this by saying this isn't necessarily for everyone.
Right. I don't want our friends and parents that we know to be scared at all to talk to other parents raising kids with disabilities, because the disability community needs parents of neurotypical kids. And I'll explain why when we talk about it. But there's a great camaraderie among parents raising kids with disabilities, but everyone in that cohort is exhausted.
Oh, I know.
And so, yes, it's great for them to get together and talk about their challenges that are similar. We need some parents who are not exhausted to step up
fresh
and help
meat.
Us.
Yeah.
Fresh
you
meat.
Need some fresh meat.
Fresh
to
meat.
Help well, just kind of tap in and take over for a minute.
With right. To help tag team. It's a village. And some of these needs are honestly too much for even a two-parent household to handle, and we need extended family and we need friends and we need community to help balance some of the stress that happens when parents are just worn too thin.
Okay, let's start with this. You say, don't say, how's he doing as he's standing right there?
Right.
I've probably...
Of course. That's like a, that you're showing concern for them and you're saying, how's he doing?
I have a very dear friend who... her son is, there's some developmental delays, including verbal delays. So I don't engage. I'm not able to really engage in a conversation, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean he's not listening.
Right.
I mean, I don't have a memory of doing it, but I'm sure I have.
Right. So this one is tough because we think about just typical development of toddlers. There is a shift that happens when you realize, oh, this kid is interacting with me.
Right.
So you stop talking to the parent holding the baby and you start talking to the baby.
Right.
Because you realize, oh, they're like pointing at me. And usually it's like 18 months around the time where kids are pointing and using lots of gestures in typical development. And then by two, they're talking more. So you actually kind of get in their face and you're like, hi, how are you? Well, when you don't get that nonverbal or even verbal feedback from a young child because there's a social or a language delay, you assume that they don't want to interact, or you assume that they wouldn't benefit from your greeting. They will benefit from your greeting, and you are actually giving them a social opportunity to be like, oh, here's mommy's friend, and you can kneel down and say hi, and they may not respond, or it may take them a while to respond, but that parent appreciated that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Just that you saw them.
Right.
And you saw them as a person.
And don't put expectations on like making eye contact,
no.
shaking hands, mm-hmm. like none of that stuff.
Yeah,
don't
you are there
that.
Just to say hello and notice that they're there too and give them a smile. And the more exposure kids get to that in the community, the better.
Yeah.
Before we get too far into this, I kind of want to clarify something because this list is, and it's already helpful. It's about how to be an awesome person to parents raising children with disabilities. You mentioned autism.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like those are two different things. Are you saying
totally.
Is this? Because I think, honestly, people who have ADHD are like, hey, I got ADHD.
It's much more
normalized.
Yeah.
Certainly, I think there will be one day where autism is as normalized as
where
ADHD
a child might
is,
say,
where
"Hey,
a child...
I have
well,
autism."
Well, and that's already happening.
That's awesome.
That
like
is...
I've never heard of
so
that.
So you
before.
May, yeah. Probably half of my clients have autism. Pretty much, almost everyone has anxiety and ADHD that I work with, and some children have a lot of social anxiety and it takes them longer to embrace that. But there are lots of kids on the spectrum who embrace it late elementary school and they march right into middle school and they're like, hey, I have autism and this is how I learn. And
man,
that is
so
the ultimate goal. But that can't happen unless the parent has embraced it and the parent has coached their kid on understanding what their brain is like. And that's the ultimate. And sometimes it doesn't happen for people until high school or even their 20s. But we also have a generation of parents realize their kid is diagnosed and then they realize, oh, wait, I think this is actually what I struggle with. Maybe it's milder, but they've gone their whole life not realizing what it was.
Yeah. Right.
And they've been functional completely, have a job, have a family. But it's been hard.
And that's what there is a spectrum. There's a spectrum
right.
of like,
sure.
just yeah. So that is, and I do know that I had a friend whose daughter was diagnosed. And in that process, her husband discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, and it was eye opening. And it was so helpful within
right.
their marriage of like, oh my gosh, like this is why in this marriage, why we have had trouble with this, mm-hmm. this and this. Anyway, we're going on.
Yeah. So, but back to kind of what types of disabilities this is relevant to, most of my experience is around autism, ADHD, and anxiety, but this is going to be in terms of parent self-care and helping a family. This is relevant to if a child has a developmental delay or if there's a medically fragile child
yeah.
or if your child's in the hospital, just logistically needing more care than your typically developing child, whether that's emotional, behavioral, or medical. This list is true for many of those.
Yeah, no, it seems to be universally, it applies universally. I'm curious about the way, not just we talk about it in front of them, but how they talk about it themselves.
Right.
And I am shocked to hear that autism has gotten to that level, because it seems that
in some, it's definitely not widespread, but we're making progress. We are definitely making progress.
Yeah. I loved, and we are going to get to this list because it's really good, but Amy Schumer had a stand-up special and she was bragging on her husband and she's like, oh yeah, and he's autistic and I think it's amazing. And it was so cool to be like, I think and she listed the benefits of all that. And why would she be scared if her son had the thing that she, you know, all these things that she loves about her husband? I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, and there was also recently a contestant on The Voice with Asperger's, and he was like, hey, I have Asperger's, so I may do some, you know, funny things, but like,
Let's do it. I love it. Okay. Don't say, you're such a warrior, mama. I don't know how you do it.
That seems like a really nice thing to say.
here's the breakdown of why that hits people in a way that feels kind of negative or overwhelming. They are exhausted.
Yeah.
And they already have questioned probably 10 times that day how they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And honestly, they want a break and they would like a free pass not to be a warrior mama today.
Right. Don't feel like a warrior mama.
Right. You don't feel like a warrior mama, but basically what you're saying is, I admire you, but I'm kind of sort of glad I'm not you right now, which is kind of why it feels bad.
And it's the second sentence that does
that. It's the second sentence.
It's I don't know how you do it. That's
so the better thing to say at times too is, how are you doing it and are you okay?
Are you okay?
Just how are you?
Yeah. And just be prepared for whatever comes out.
Be prepared, because when you ask a special needs parent how they are, you're not going to get fine.
Good. And that person should
you're going to get a conversation.
Good. And they should be like, you should be a safe space for them to have that.
Exactly.
Can I say something? Mm-hmm. I'm going to be like Johnny random comments, because I do have ADHD, people. And I'm like,
squirrel.
And you own it.
So people have been saying this to me a lot lately, because I've been like working with my parents are like, they're in skilled nursing. Like I'm getting, people are asking me all of this stuff.
Well, it's because this is a caregiver situation.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's when people see you loaded up with responsibilities, they want to give you a compliment, but really, like, how does that make you feel when people are like, how do you do it, Penn?
So you're so right. They always say, I don't know how you're doing this.
And how does that make you feel?
I mean, I haven't really, I don't take account of my feelings ever, Emily.
Oh my gosh.
Here we are live.
We had a big one last night.
I know.
I was like, tell me about your feelings.
Yeah, it was. That's how it ended well, because I did.
Yeah.
I feel like it's shining a light on how sucky things are.
It reminds you
and
how sucky it is.
And I guess I need to be reminded of that sometimes, but you already know that.
You already know.
That's true. Yeah.
Right.
I've never really thought about this. I don't know that I love it when people say that. It's like, it's just, you know what?
And people say that a lot to parents raising kids with disabilities, because you're in it every day. Like you won't be caring for older parents forever.
I think there is a difference in that. There is something when it is your child and you have to go mama bear. It is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sucks right now dealing with.
It's something when it's your dad too.
Medically fragile parents for sure. But I will say, okay. Don't say, have you tried?
Is that tired or tried?
It's tried. It's a typo.
Oh, because I thought there was like a new term. You tired?
Oh, I am tired. They are tired.
They are tired.
Just so you know, this is printed out as have you tired.
It's so funny the pen picks up typo, because he'll send like an email to, you know, a fan. Like,
no, I thought it could work both ways.
We're, you know,
have you tired?
I'm there.
See?
I think that at some point I was probably like, oh, I heard about like gluten-free and dairy-free and with ADHD.
Oh, yeah.
Because we took out dairy and gluten for my son like for an entire summer, and his behavior totally changed. Uh-huh. It was amazing.
Right.
And I think for like an ADHD mom, I was like, have you tried?
Yeah.
And now I was like,
we all want to be helpful. We do. But just trust that this parent's mission since they were first concerned has been to figure this out.
They've tried everything.
They have tried everything. They have Googled everything. They have been to every doctor.
They've called everybody.
They have called everybody. They have tried anything that you probably could mention they have thought about or worried about. And so it's not helpful unless you totally get a pass if you're also another special needs parent.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, hey, this worked. This worked for us. And it's like, yay, let's celebrate it. And all you have to say is this worked for us. You don't have to say, have you tried it?
Are you aware? Have you done enough research to know this?
Have you gotten written
for it? Emily, right. I am so guilty of using this term 27 times a day.
Because it immediately makes the parent feel like you have no idea.
Dude, what it's like to be in my shoes right now. You know, where Penn is saying he does this a lot because he wants to help people.
Yeah, we want to help, and he wants to fix it.
So even if it's last night, we had our kids, you know, Christmas pageant. We're going to release this in January, but we record in December. And his friend, like, we're walking in, we're trying to find a seat. He goes, "Oh, they need a babysitter because their babysitter left town, and we need to get them babysitters." I'm like, "We can do this later." He's like, "No, no, no, I'll just." He like wants to, like, help everybody, mm-hmm. which is really sweet, but yes.
But I also, like, anytime anyone tells me a problem, I skip the, "Man, that must really suck," the empathy, and I go straight to, "Oh, I think I here, try this, try this, try that. Can you do this? Like, I want to make it better." And
which is sweet.
Yeah, but I, like,
sometimes
I'm
just stick with the empathy.
Yeah, it's not about the nail.
Like,
not,
that's, have you seen that video? Anyway, we'll put it in the, anyway, don't say, "Does your kid have special talents?" Is that an autism thing? Like,
so kids and people with autism often do have a really vast range of skills.
Yeah.
In like some high abilities and then sometimes some lower abilities. And that's why school is so hard, because school is really taught in the middle range of everybody does the same thing for average. It could be that your child has like a visual memory and has, you know, tell you what day
man and they could
that, so I that's think, the stereotype but right. Every single person is different, so every yes. person in the autism community knows this phrase, but in case your listeners don't, if you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism.
That's really true.
So and it's tough when we talk about, you know, the downside of labels is that you say a label and you make assumptions that everyone with that label is the same. Well, we are making progress in getting to a space where if you say someone has autism, your next question needs to be, well, tell me about them, because the answer to that is absolutely completely different from every person. So what would be, some people are not going to at all be offended by that question, but if it's overused and people feel like that's the only thing that's noticed about their kid is their savant skill or whatever strength it is, they're missing the big picture of their kid.
And
it's
also
just one part.
If your child does not have some sort of special skill, you're now like, oh, actually,
right. No. Not all autism presents that way.
Right.
You use the term savant, and I love that term, and I've heard it before. Actually, it's funny. I think the first time I heard about it, someone described it as an idiot savant. Like, that was the term for it. Have you ever heard that before?
I have.
Making that up?
No, I...
Okay. And what it is it's like their superpower,
it's
right?
It's like a splinter skill, right.
So that's an okay term to use?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
That's what it is. Absolutely. Once you get to know a family and a child, you'll figure that out about them. The teenage activist Greta, her skill. I mean, she's like totally into
changing the world,
the environment. She's changing the world, but that is an interest. Now, that's not necessarily a savant skill, but it's a high interest that she's probably spent tons of time learning about, and she's totally going to change the world.
And she's Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So just to clarify, so in the medical community, we're on board with all this, but I know there's still some confusion. So several years ago, the autism diagnoses were changed and Asperger's was taken out of the Diagnostic Statistical Manual.
Right.
Now it is just one umbrella term of autism spectrum disorder.
Okay, so
people, though, still identify with the term Asperger's. So if someone says...
So I read about that she had Asperger's. Yep. So even that person who wrote that article,
medically, we're not using it anymore. But if you are on the autism spectrum and that is the label you identify with, you know, I kind of think about it as kind of gender stuff. Like if that's what you identify with, you get to call yourself that, you know.
100%.
But medically, it's just one umbrella term now, and then we talk specifically about what the skills and needs are within that. Okay. Yep.
So to recap, don't say, does your kid have special talents? But you're saying instead, like, ask what you can do to help.
Right.
And also, I think I love how you said ask, like, specific questions. Like, what I think you said, what would you like me to tell my kids to best understand your child when
that one is
when
golden.
They come over? Right.
Okay. Golden. And the reason is you are modeling acceptance for your kids and you are modeling inclusion for your kids. And y'all are raising kids that are going to be in the workplace with these kids or in the community. And they need to know that not everybody's brain is the same. And right. they need to know that somebody may struggle to eat a variety of foods, but they can program this computer over here, you know, whatever it is, that's such a vastly different skill. And just with having families get together.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Together, just saying what would make your child comfortable when we get together tonight would be huge. You're thinking about it, yeah. Providing it, and not to be offended when the family stays an hour or leaves
or
early
yeah.
or less, you know, doing what you can to help have everybody interact and show your kids that everybody has different skills and we're going to get together as long as we can. And,
yeah.
And also the, what you say to your children does depend on how that family, where that family is in the journey of accepting a diagnosis, of talking to their own family or their own child about the diagnosis, and how they want other people to know about
it. Right. And I think that's a good question. I probably should do. We have a little friend that has special needs, and I probably need to ask the mama next time he comes over is like, how should we? Because I think I've heard some, you know, Penn Charles is like, he hit me. He did this. And mm-hmm. It's not.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a bad behavior thing. It was like this a tick almost, mm-hmm. and it wasn't aimed at him. It wasn't
right.
anything like that. I think he got in the way of something. So I need to do a better job at that.
So while we're on this topic, mm-hmm. do you ever encounter something where like you're trying to use all this language, you want to ask specific questions about your child, but like the mom or the dad is still in denial?
Yeah.
About this?
Absolutely. And there's certainly, you know, one of the more difficult conversations and tough things about being aware of all of this is you may see a child that you think something is developmentally different about them, but you're not sure if the family is concerned or on board. Just trust that they're looking at it and checking it out. And then also asking them maybe it's not labeled yet. Maybe it's not diagnosed yet. But how can we help your whole family be comfortable when they come over instead of maybe not saying just the child?
Okay, good tip.
You know?
Yeah, but also moms know everything and dads. Mm-hmm. They're on it.
Right.
So
right. They're on it.
Yeah. Don't say God knew what he was doing when he picked you for his mama.
This is the worst one.
Okay, it's the worst one and it's the one that I disagree with. So you and I are going to have some fun.
Do it.
You're not allowed to disagree, honey.
I'm allowed to. I'm sure I'm going to be proven wrong, but I think I can be the
okay,
the ombudsman here.
By the way, have said this.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's sure. so sweet. It's like the
well,
nice...
Well, isn't it special that we, you know, parents, what? A certain parent got picked for a certain kid, well, but that's just kind of not true, right?
I don't think I do the God gives us only what we can handle. I don't know if I've said that, but I'm like, I've definitely said, you know, your son is, you know, God picked you, yeah. you know, you are... Your son is like so,
so, so lucky sweet. To have
you.
It's a
you
nice
are so
say.
Amazing. I've done that, but tell me why.
Yeah. So there's a phrase that's, you know, goes around on social media and with special need parent communities that if God only gives you what you can handle, God must think I'm a badass. And it's true that it's a lot. You've been given a lot to handle, but the reason that it hits you. And hits parents that way is because they'd like a pass to maybe, and it's painful to admit, but they'd like a pass to maybe not be the chosen one that day.
Yeah.
Have an
Thanks
out.
Thanks God.
Thanks God. But also, it would not be any different if you had been the one that was chosen. Everybody steps up to whatever they are given in general.
Right.
And so it's almost like back to the whole, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
Well, if you were given this, you would be doing it too.
And I guess, Penn, if somebody said
they have
about your parents,
they have.
And how does it make you feel?
Good. That's what like, so,
maybe they haven't said it enough.
I am the chosen one.
Well, yeah.
Guys, well, that maybe that just says a little bit about me. I love it when people tell me that I'm awesome. So,
because you like attention.
Even if it's talking crap about the other. See, here's the thing. Here's what I'm realizing when you said it. I like it because it makes me feel like, oh, I really. Like,
I'm the chosen one.
This person is acknowledging me for having like a lot of patience and for like, they are acknowledging that that there's only a certain type of person who can do it and it's me. And what I wasn't considering is that it's really throwing shade at everybody else but me.
Right.
And that's kind of douchey. So I am actually where you are now. And I understand it. I have gotten 27 emails that say that in the last.
Well, and I also, I also think there is a difference too with you expect at some point to take care of aging parents.
You're right.
And
yeah, I can't really
no one goes into parenthood saying, I really hope that I have a kid who's challenging to parent.
Right.
Right? It's an unexpected journey that is a process to accept. There's grief involved of how you process that. And there's grief involved with, you know, caring for an aging parent as well. But it's a life thing that happens to everyone.
Yeah.
It's your turn for it to happen to you. There are people
order.
Who go through their whole life without parenting a challenging child. And it's okay for parents with disabilities to be a little angry that those people have it easier.
Yeah.
And to your point, I should not be making this about me because they're
a chosen one, Penn.
They are two totally different things. I also think that this quote is like it's the comparison, like it's the stepsister of bless your heart.
Right.
It's kind of similar to that one, which you hear a lot in the South here.
You hear it a lot. You just want people to hug you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then you offer like say yes when she or he can go out. Like
yes.
If your friend says, hey, I got 30 minutes or I got an hour. Can you meet me here? You drop everything and go like you or invite. No. How does that work? Should I always be inviting? Like, should I always be reaching out even if it's
so I would
go?
Say never give up on inviting your friend that's a parent of a child with special needs because it all has to do with exhaustion or availability. And just because they said no does not mean that they don't want to.
Right.
They're not ever really turning you down because they don't want to.
Right. So don't give up.
Don't give up. But also it can really be more helpful sometimes. And just ask the parent if you come to them. It seems like that's a hassle for you to come to their house. But the kids are comfortable usually at home.
That's a
with
really
their
good
toys, with their routine. A lot of kids on the autism spectrum are not going to be flexible with different time frames, different food, different anything. But if you want to give some, you know, adult attention to your friend, maybe it's going over there after the kids are asleep, or maybe it's going over there when on a weekend day when kids are entertained and you can show up for them and they don't have to get dressed.
Yeah.
to go somewhere.
Yeah. And that, which is also like another layer of like, and then like finding childcare and all of that is which another layer of.
Is a whole nother thing because it's difficult to find childcare for kids that have different disabilities.
Yeah. And then don't expect their house to be clean either.
Ever.
I would say that just in general, don't expect people's homes to be clean. Don't say, oh my gosh, this one I actually hate. Everything happens for a reason.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. What should we say instead? What should we do instead?
Nothing happens for a reason.
Right. No. We just don't even need to acknowledge that that is a thing, yeah. Right? Because, yes, these children make parents better people. They do. Mm-hmm. But it takes years and it takes growth and struggle and it's a process. And I will say, you know, parents of kids with special needs are some of the most enlightened and authentic people because they do not put up with crap.
And they don't have time
for it. They don't have time to put up with crap. They don't have time to put up with people who are not just going to love them for who they are. And they get there fast.
Yeah.
Because it's just not there. So many things that come across their plate are just not there. Scene,
right.
And they can't do it, or they, you know, their kid can't do it, so they move on, and they accept that process so much more quickly than parents who are maybe faced with that when their kid doesn't go to the college that they wanted them to go to. Yeah. You know, that's,
and you're like, I'll trade your problems there,
right?
For a second.
So, you know, don't fly that one by a parent with a kid with special needs because they will not care about your small problem. Mm-hmm.
Again, like everything else on this list, these are all said with good intent, right?
Sure.
Like,
and I don't want any of these people to stop talking to their parent friends.
No, never stop talking.
And this person who's saying everything happens for a reason is trying, like, they're being spiritual. They're saying, like, look, everything happens this way. But I do think we were talking about, like, what should you say? This is kind of the opposite of empathy. It's dismissing, like, how bad, like, maybe the opposite is, man, that sucks.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, how, like, are you?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to, your paper's so loud, honey. That's what I'm saying.
No, I saw that note.
I know. You're
Kim passed me a note to set that said, stop with the paper.
I know. And I feel like you're just, it's really disruptive.
Okay.
I love you.
I mean,
but you're also saying, like, drop off a lasagna on their front porch and just, like, leave a note and text them and say, hey, dinner's ready. Like, expect, like, to, yeah.
Yeah. So instead of saying, let me know if you need anything.
Oh, I'm bad at that.
So don't say that because
nobody's going to ask for help.
We can't figure out what we need as parents sometimes. So usually when we say, you know, let me know if you need anything to all of us, it's like small talk, right? So what parents of kids with special needs need is sleep.
Yeah.
To have some extra food every now and then that they did not cook, and time with adults.
Yeah.
And so if you want to, so if you're going to bring food, just bring it, leave it. Tell them it's there and they will love you.
Yeah.
Because you just allowed them to not have to cook dinner while they're doing whatever happens
97 other things.
Four and six at night and everyone's home. Yeah. And along the same lines of helping neurotypical or non-disabled siblings. So that's one of the main ways and really easy ways for people to be helpful is, you know, these siblings growing up in homes with kids who have lots of meltdowns or kids who get upset really easily, they need a reprieve too. And so letting, having a trusted family where that kid can just kind of go eat, go have a sleepover, go on a trip with that family. Great. You know, it helps the parents of the child with a disability focus on that kid without feeling guilty that they're not giving attention to their other child. As well as just, as we all know with siblings, just separating the sibling dynamic is always helpful.
Oh, that's
always
pretty
helpful. They're like always so great one-on-one.
Yes, this is the truth. You speak the truth. Don't say, I don't care if it's a boy or girl as long as it's healthy. What does that mean?
Whew, okay, so lots of people say this, right?
Like,
do you want a boy? Do you want a girl?
I don't care as long as it's healthy. Uh-huh.
What are you going to do if the baby's not healthy?
I just figured out why it's bad.
Okay.
She does a really good job letting us figure it out by asking questions.
That's why she's good at her job, honey. Mm-hmm.
Because if you say, I don't care if it's a boy or a girl, as long as it's healthy, and then they're born with like some something, then
you have a medically fragile child.
Yeah.
Are you not okay with that now?
Oh, you're so sneaky.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay.
So we
got to
stop saying that.
Yeah.
Well, also, I have a vasectomy, so we're good.
But you don't hear it the way that special needs parents hear it until you have a child with a disability or have a child that's medically fragile. And then you hear people say that and you think, you don't know really what you're talking about. Because if you have a child with a disability, you're going to totally love that kid. You're going to love them.
Yeah.
And that phrase just doesn't even make sense.
And you should just say, I don't care.
Right.
Yeah. I'm so excited to have a baby.
Right.
Yeah.
It's basically the same as saying, I don't care if it's a boy or it's a girl, as long as it's not gay. It's like something, honestly, like I'm that's kind of what it is. And we've been saying it forever, and
it's a very common phrase to say at baby showers, and or an older generation of people ask us this and say this all the time.
I'm a different person now.
This is the new. We have like no. This is like. Do you remember some people who are like my age? Do you remember when you finally sat down with like my first conversation with like a good gay friend of mine? And it was a list like this of stuff that we have like said forever. And you just it's like regular commonplace speak.
Right.
And you're like, no. And then you're like, wait, I've been an idiot for a long time.
Well, yeah.
Kind of how I feel right now.
I mean, like, first of all, you weren't saying that many things. But
no, but it was very nuanced things with good intentions. Oh just
God,
like
right.
this.
The paper thing.
Okay,
honey.
I love you.
I love you.
These are very good microphones. You are the only person who can hear this, so the people in the podcast are going to find it very funny.
Okay, I can't wait like, for you guys to... Once you hear Penn's paper...
It's not that loud. That's loud!
Once you hear Penn's paper, you let me know.
Okay, but like I have the headphones on.
We're okay with it. Okay, love you. I love you.
Hey, Emily.
Hey!
So back to your comment.
Back to your comment.
When we know better, we do better. Maya Angelou.
Yeah.
Right.
So... this is all evolving, and we're talking about it so much more now, and we have an opportunity to normalize this and talk to our kids about neurodiversity and how to best support people. And it's easier when you can see the disability. It honestly is, but so many of the things I work with and that we're talking about today, you can't see. And there are absolutely children that don't look like they're about to have a meltdown, and then they have a meltdown.
Right.
And you have to trust the family and talk to the family and figure out what do they need, because the family will know.
And I think I definitely don't want to stop people from talking.
Right.
Yeah. So this is to give people some cues, perhaps, of what not to say. Mm-hmm.
But
I'm
people
sure
are going to mess up.
You're going to mess up.
And people are going to say some of this stuff and it will go fine because someone won't be triggered by it. But these are just some general things that I know will rub people the wrong way, given their experience.
Right. And the hope is that people feel more comfortable having a conversation with a mama at the playground who is, you know, maybe struggling, maybe like, would you encourage if I see somebody at the playground, their child is struggling, I can tell she's struggling, I should go up and talk and, but not expect any sort of be like, can I help? What should I be saying?
Yeah. I think just, hey, and do what you would normally do.
Okay.
And then see where it goes.
Okay.
Do what you would normally do. And, one where you do help is if a kid is tantruming in public and you see a mom or dad struggling because there are things all over the floor or whatever, pick up some things and just help them.
And move on.
Yeah. And it's just, it's similar to, you wouldn't judge that if it were a 2-year-old.
Right.
Because that's what 2-year-olds do. But let's say it's a 6 or 7-year-old and it feels unusual to you because child seems older. Yes. If you see a parent at Target that's struggling with a kid's behavior, maybe they're throwing things out of the cart. Maybe they're just, you can't help calm that child down. You don't have the relationship with that child.
Of course.
But you can pick stuff up for that parent. You can smile at that parent. You can not be judgmental. You could also not ignore them because they may say, oh, I'm good, thank you, and not need your help. But you're available if they do. So if you see a 2-year-old doing that in Target, you don't think much about it. It's almost like solidarity, there, right? But if you see an older child, maybe 6, 7, or 8 doing that, it feels unusual because you feel like they're maybe too old to be doing that. But assume something is going on with their development. That parent absolutely knows how to handle that and pick the things up and help just like you would if it were a younger child.
Okay. And with, to our friends that are, you know, don't give up. I think it, I will admit that like it is harder to keep in touch with my friends with special needs just because our schedules are like at this point now, our kids, as our kids are older, you know, because we would do like little gym classes together.
Right.
And so now we're in sports and they're
not. So, and here's the other, you bring up a great point because they're going to be friends that you, if you don't have a child with disabilities and they do, your kids may not be friends. Your kids may not be in soccer together. Your kids may not be in gymnastics together.
Now, I mean, we used to see each other every Thursday. Now it's like we're not.
So your friendship's going to evolve and maybe look different. And maybe your families get together, but your friends are not friends. A lot of kids with disabilities have a bunch of different therapies, and those therapies are their extracurriculars. And that's why you don't see people, because they're taking their kid to all these therapies. I mean, most children with autism have a psychologist, an occupational therapist, a speech language pathologist. They go to school. Sometimes they have a tutor. Sometimes they have a psychiatrist. Sometimes they have a,
These parents have jobs?
They're like, all different people. Like there's not,
they're
like
all different
there's
people.
Not like an all-in-one type of person who can.
And also these parents are working.
They're working and this is all expensive.
Yeah. Oh, bless these parents.
Right. So this is why they need a break. And this is why they're not doing usually the extracurriculars that other children are doing because of some limitation, if it's a motor limitation or a social limitation. And a lot of kids, sports are not their thing.
Of course.
Right.
I mean, even for
neurotypical kids.
Right.
But asking, you know, what is your kid into lately is a helpful question because you want to learn more about them and not just assume they're at home doing nothing. They're into something.
They're doing something.
Yeah.
This feels like one of those podcasts. Like I could care less how many people listen to our podcast sometimes. I want this to be heavily shared because
this is
new frontier of information that, and I'm sitting here thinking like, There are all these times when we're going to look back at ourselves 20 years ago and be like, man, we were so not educated about this. And I think that's like 90% of the world right now when it comes to this issue.
Thank y'all so much for wanting to talk about this.
Yes.
And because I talk to parents every day in my psychology practice, and because of privacy laws, I'm not able to talk to them about each other.
Yeah.
But I often will tell them, and sometimes we'll find them like meeting each other in my waiting room and it's cool because I want to be like, y'all need to get together, but I don't because of privacy laws. But you know, I hear these stories all day, the days I work, you know, all day long. And these parents need other parents who have more time and are more rested and can just give them a little reprieve and help them feel included. And not be scared to ask questions, to learn about their kid.
Yeah. And I think like if you don't know what to say, like you cannot go wrong with any parent asking, tell me about your kid.
Tell me about your kid and how are you?
But not how is he doing while he's standing right there.
Yeah. Like, what's he into these days?
Yeah.
Like those sorts of questions. How are you doing? Like those are just, you can start a conversation with that and go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to see the feedback on this because I think we'll get a lot more responses. There'll probably be some other things that I've done and said that are off.
Yeah.
In the spirit of just trying to love and help, but not doing a good job.
No, you're doing great. I mean, we could talk to Emily about it. You do have some paper rage issues that obviously jumped out. You don't like the sound of paper crumpling.
I don't like paperwork. You're right.
I have
a mental block.
You have like a rage fit when I hold paper, but otherwise you're very, like, you're the most empathetic person that I know. I think this comes more naturally to you than it does to a lot of people.
Well, I do know because everybody knows somebody who has a child who's, who has special needs of some sort. And I do, I kind of parachute in and parachute out for, you know, either a visit or a girls' night or whatever. And I hear the stories and I think, holy crap. You know, I need to do more and I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. But I love the dropping off dinner. I love like all that stuff because I don't
especially
know what to do. And I do, especially lasagna.
Yeah.
But I do the, let me know if I can help. Mm-hmm. That's so annoying. I'm just going to offer
like,
help.
Like do something specific. Cause like, let me know.
Do something specific.
Like I'm going to come over on Saturday from like 1 to 3, go run errands.
Well, and here's another treat. This is totally kind of out of left field, but go take coffee and then let them go back to sleep on a Saturday morning and hang out with their kid.
That's genius.
Oh, you take coffee for yourself. You can't give it to them.
Oh, that's right. You wouldn't give it to them. But you could, you know.
You just appear with bagels.
You just appear
on a Saturday morning.
Let the parent go back to sleep. Yeah.
That is dreamy.
And offer stuff specific. Like, don't be like Clark Griswold's dad who says, if you need me, I'll be upstairs asleep.
Yes. I know, that's my
when he's putting his lights up. Awesome.
Thank
this
you
is good stuff.
So much for helping us talk about this and have good conversations. And you're if welcome. You loved this podcast, I hope you have loved this information. Please, please share it because I think there is so much valuable information. So you can take a screenshot, put it on Instagram, share it on your Facebook feed, because I think this is really good stuff that everybody needs to hear. Mm-hmm. So
thank you guys for listening. I'm just going to take this and throw it in the trash. And all right.
We're going to deal next week on how to be passive aggressive. Tune in then.
Bye.
Bye. All right.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.